we'd start worrying about Calvary as much as we worry about COVID, we might see some souls saved and lives changed. I know where you stand on COVID. I know where you stand on masks. For the most part, this is God talking to me. I know where you stand on who the president needs to be. I know what you think the nation needs. I know where you stand on securing your family. I know what you think about weapons, guns. I know what you think about politics. I know where you stand about how the community's going. I know how you stand on Black Lives Matter. I know how you stand on Antifa. I know how you stand on rioting and looting. I know exactly how you stand on that, Kevin. But where do you stand when it comes to Calvary? Where do you stand when it comes to lifting up Jesus Christ, where I'll draw all men unto me? Does everybody know where you stand on everything that's going on, but where do you stand with Christ? We make one statement after another about where we stand, but we'll never say, you know what? Jesus Christ is still dealing with the biggest problem that this country has. We have a sin problem. We have a salvation problem. We have nieces and nephews, children, husbands, wives, grandparents. I'm going to say that one again because God told me to. Grandparents. We have grandparents right now. If they took their last breath, would go out into eternity, separated God for eternity because they thought they were good enough. Uncles, aunts, nephews. Brothers and sisters, and husbands and wives. And we're talking about everything else, but we're not talking about God. God woke me up this morning and said, why don't you preach about Calvary? Because that's where the whole world needs to come to. They need to come to Calvary, and they need to come quick. So what if the world ends tomorrow? I'm not prepared for the world ending tomorrow, other than I'll be in heaven. And some of y'all looked at me, what? I don't have enough food stocked up. I don't have enough ammunition stocked up. I don't even really have a good plan. I do know how far it is from my front porch to the end of my driveway. Y'all get that later. But if it's the end of the world, I do know one thing. I have Jesus. And Jesus will be good whether I'm running for my life or if tomorrow or next week's the same as this week. Amen? 1 Corinthians 1:18 reads this way. It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Right now, if you start amplifying Jesus Christ, Him crucified, most people are going to go, you're foolish. You're a foolish man. You're a foolish woman. We got big issues, and all you want to talk about is Jesus. That's the only thing I know that will help the situation. Listen, I love the last part of that verse. It says, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. It is the power of God. Man, that's our power source. That's where we found our salvation. That's where we got our peace and our joy and our promises from God. Man, when I found Calvary, everything disappeared. All my worries disappeared. All my troubles disappeared. And then guess what? God let me wake back up into the world. And guess what? I've got to deal with the world's problems through a salvation mentality. Whew. And I look back at a man. In Luke 23, verse 33. We're going to preach the cross this morning. You say, you've preached this message before. Yeah, I've preached it. I don't know. Maybe in the last 16 years, I've probably preached this about 50 times. I've been working on it for that long. Amen? But let me tell you something. If you're sitting here this morning, and you're just going through the motions, what I mean is you're coming to church, but Jesus hasn't totally radically taken over your life. You've got a profession of faith, but no possession. I want you to listen to this real hard. Because I don't care if you're a councilman here, a singer here, a member here for a long time. If Christ is not the main thing in your life, that everything comes out of Him and for Him, then you need this message. And if you're sitting here this morning, you're like, I've heard the message of the cross before. Thank God. If you're saved, sit there and say, thank God somebody preached Calvary to me and I accepted it, and start praying within yourself and say, if somebody's sitting here lost, God deal with their heart. I might not need the message of the cross, but somebody does. Because sometimes we are so spoiled. We come in the house of God and we're sitting there going, man, I wonder what He's going to preach. I hope it's something new. I hope it's something exciting. Praise God. I hope it's something that we need. I come with my plate out saying, God, fill my plate. Fill me, God. I want to be better when I leave. Luke 23:32. And there was two other malefactors led with Him to be put to death. In verse 33, and then where they come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him, and the malefactors on the right hand and on the left hand. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted His raiment and cast lots. I love that red letters right there. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Ain't that amazing? Aren't you glad that it reads that way? Listen, aren't you glad that it reads that way since you got saved? Aren't you glad that it's read that way before you got saved? I'm glad that Jesus, 2,000 years ago, on a cross, before I was ever made, said, forgive Him, Father. He don't even know what He's doing. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. For even though they're gonna say things, God, help us. God, and He's going to say things. And He's going to do things. And He's even gonna rail on me some. Anybody railed on God before you got saved? I did. I said some things. If He's God, why this? And if He's God, why that? And I think anybody can get to heaven anyway. I'm glad He said, forgive Him, Father. He don't even know what He's doing. That was the first thing He said from Calvary, is forgive Him. God, watch over Him and forgive Him until I get a chance to get after Him. Anybody get a chance where God got after you? If you've been apprehended by God, you know what I'm talking about. Praise God. God pursued me. He let some hound dogs out after me. And they chased me until I couldn't run no further. I think it was a grandmother or a stepmom and a dad who eventually started praying. And praise God, God unleashed the holy hounds on me. And they chased me from country to country, from state to state, from hellhole to hellhole. And they kept chasing until I fell down on my face and was arrested by God. Aren't you glad that He sends people out? Listen, we're missing one thing in this country, one great thing in this country. I would say two, but one for sure is praying mamas and daddies. Some of y'all are sitting there going, I hope my kids, I wish my kids, I thank my kids, I hope they. Listen, if you'll get on your face before God and make a covenant with God and say, God, you can have them, you can use them, you can send them, you can do whatever you want to with them, I'll take my hands off of them. God, if you'll just save them. We don't have radical prayers anymore. We don't have radical preachers anymore. We want everything sanitized, clean, and perfect. We want to come in and go out the same way we came. We want church that feels good. I won't feel good. I want God. I don't want to come in here and say, man, it was good to go to church. And I want to say, man, it was good to visit with God. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. I love it, man. He's hanging on the cross and He's talking about forgiveness. He's going through His worst day and He's talking about forgiving some people. Listen, if you'll start talking about forgiveness when you're going through your worst day, maybe somebody will get saved. Maybe that brother, maybe that sister, maybe that husband, maybe that uncle, maybe that grandfather, maybe your brother, maybe your dad, maybe your mom will get saved. If for one time they would hear out of your mouth, I'll just forgive them anyway. I'll pray for them anyway. I'll love them anyway. I'll just forgive them already on credit. Like you're talking just like they're talking. If Trump don't win, we're doomed. If God's not lifted up, we're doomed. COVID's going to ruin this country. No, sin ruined this country. And so before we get too high on our horse, I'd say this. My sin ruined this country. My sin, my money, my lying, my stealing, my dope, my pornography, mine. It ruined this country. It ain't them, it's me. If the church would get on its face before God, maybe the world would follow. We're sitting here waiting for the world to come in. Oh, they need to come into church. Why in the world would they come into church if they can't see the church be the church outside of here? We talk about what we talk about. Oh, man, it's getting so bad. And I don't want to do this. This is stupid. And I can't believe, my God, when's the last time anybody heard a verse out of your mouth? When's the last time somebody heard Jesus Christ and Him crucified? God forgave me of my sins. When's the last time anybody heard your testimony instead of what you're struggling with in the world today? I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to me. I'm preaching to me. What are you going to do, preacher, if this happens? I don't know. I'm just going to trust God. I don't know what else to do. I'm confused as you are, mad as you are, hurt as you are, don't know what's going to happen as much as you don't know. But I do know one thing. God is in control. And if I can trust Him with my eternity, I can trust Him with what's going on in this world. He's got a plan and He's sticking to it. Verse 35. And the people stood by beholding, and the rulers also. Them derided Him, saying, He saved others, let Him save Himself, if He be the Christ, the chosen one of God. And the soldiers also mocked Him, coming to Him and offering Him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. I love that. There's a lot of ifs in there. Y'all have heard me say this 1,000 times. I believe there's going to be one banner over the entrance to hell. I do. And the word will be if. If. One small letter. It's in the Bible. One small word. If. Because everybody who doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God always says if. If you be God. If you be the Son of God. If you be the salvation. If you're the thing. If you're still saying if, you don't know Jesus. If you're staying saying, well, if He can do this. If God's this. Guess what? You don't know Christ. You don't know Him. Because that's what people who don't know Him say. They stand around and they looked at Calvary. They looked at Jesus dying on a cross. They looked at Him beaten and broken and unrecognizable. And they said, hey, you saved others, save yourself. And all He was saying without words is, I'm not here to save myself. The whole purpose of me coming was to save you. I had somebody ask me this morning, that's just too simple. Just believing in Jesus Christ, that's just too simple for me to understand. It is too simple. But I guess what? It also says this. If it's not Jesus and Him crucified and Him alone, then praise God, my salvation don't work. Because I don't got nothing to offer you. You can't not do enough and you can't do enough. I've tried. I'll be good. That lasted about a day. I won't ever do this again. Yeah. I ain't never going to do that again. Anybody else said that in here? I'll never do that again. God, if you'll forgive me this one time, I'll never do it. What we mean is, I don't want to eat the consequences of this. God, let me forgive this, and I'll never do it until I get a desire to do it. Amen? And then we try to live by a bunch of rules. Part your hair this way, cut your hair this way, wear your shirt this way, wear a white shirt, not a colored shirt, don't wear jeans shorts, don't wear shorts, women don't wear dress, no dress, pants, no pants, praise God, got all kinds of rules, and guess what, after all, we found out some of them people, they couldn't keep those simple rules, and they were more wicked than all the rest of us. Man, you look good on the outside, but man, you're rotten on the inside. Guess what, I love when Jesus walked up on people and said, man, you look beautiful, you look like a sepulcher. When you read the King James, it's really neat. They said, man, you look like a sepulcher. I wonder if they puffed up their chest. Sepulcher, what is that? Oh, it's a graveyard. Wait a minute. Have y'all ever been to a graveyard? I'm being honest with you. You ever been to one? They're nice. They are beautiful, serene, quiet, beautiful, flowers. Every time I go, don't want to stay. Amen? Beautiful, quiet. Let's get out of here. Amen? I'd bark the tires out of here if it was acceptable. Amen? I want to go somewhere where the living is, not where the dead is. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. Can I preach to you? I don't care what you think about on the outside of me. I don't care what's going on the outside. If it ain't right on the inside, it ain't Jesus. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to have all the outside. Man, He's got everything. He says all the right stuff. Praise God. I got Jesus on the inside. It's an inside job. I worship Jesus better on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday than I do on Sunday. I'm serious. This is the most difficult place for me to get my Jesus on. It is. Somebody just said, how do you get your mind yourself? I'm serious. Because I really don't know how to corporate worship sometimes. Because if I really get radical and where I want to be, praise God, somebody go, oh my gosh, what's wrong with him? There ain't nothing wrong with him. The message I was going to preach is, if you would remember this, think about this. When David brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, y'all ain't ever read this in your Bible, probably. It said he danced before God so hard that he came out of his clothes. That ain't no Baptist manual. That ain't a Baptist manual. They'll jump over that real quick. Dancing so hard that, you know what? Some people looked at him and said, man, he's being a fool for Christ. Wouldn't it be nice if somebody ever once in a while accused you of being a fool for Christ? They've accused you of being a fool for everything else. Wouldn't it be wild if somebody said, they're just crazy for Jesus? Wouldn't it be good if your kids would say, they're just crazy for Jesus? My mom and dad are crazy for Jesus. Instead of crazy for the house, crazy for the car, crazy for the job, crazy about their circumstances. What if they just said, man, my mom and dad are radical for Jesus. Man, I don't know about my mom and dad. They love Jesus. I had a man one time sit in my office. He come to me. He come into my office one time and he said, I'm mad at God. I'm mad at him. I said, tell me why. He goes, I'm the youngest son of three boys. I said, okay. He said, I played sports my whole life. Okay. He said, I had to wear hand-me-downs into every sport. My oldest brother would hand it down to my middle brother, and my middle brother would hand it to me, and I wore his cleats and his shorts and his shirts. My daddy had MS. He was crippled most of our lives. We barely had any money to go to school. We barely had money to get lunch. All the other kids made fun of us because we had ratty stuff. And I'm mad at God because he let my dad have MS. He goes, my dad loved Jesus and never backed up on him and told us to trust Jesus no matter what. And I'm mad at him today. And I said, whoa, 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 whoa. Stop, go back, rewind. He said, what? I said, did you say your daddy loved Jesus? He goes, my dad was faithful in the house of God every Sunday, Sunday night, and Wednesday. He was a deacon. He prayed, and he told us every time we got something, it was from God, and it was a blessing, even if it was old and not worn out. And I sat there, and I looked at him, and I said, your dad might be one of the greatest Christians I've ever heard of. And he said, what? You must be mistaken. I said, I am not mistaken, my friend. Most people would have turned on God and cursed God and said, God ain't good to me. But you've got a testimony that your daddy loved Jesus despite. Are there any fathers in here? The only thing you want for your children, and especially your sons, is to do better than you do. If you couldn't give your youngest son the brand new stuff and everybody else could, the first thing you would probably say is, God, why are you doing this to me? But instead, he said, thank you, God. And his boys knew about it. He was radical for Jesus. Are you radical for Jesus? Are you a radical lover of Christ? If you were, you know what? We would start to see things change around here. Watch. And the soldiers, they didn't know no better. And they said, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. Verse 38, and the subscription, I love this. And the subscription also written over him in letters in Greek, in Latin, and in Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. You know why Jesus died for you? Because he was the king of the Jews. He's your king too. Amen? And one day he'll either judge you as king or he'll judge you as your father. Amen? Or he'll say, enter in, my good and faithful servant. Amen? Watch, verse 39. Y'all ready? Can y'all stay with me? Are y'all still here? All right, three of you still here. All right. Verse 39. And one of the malefactors. Well, they were both railing on him. Watch this. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Y'all got that? I love that. 39. If thou, big IF right there. If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. Get us out of this trouble, Jesus. Man, I love this. These guys right here were lucky enough to die with Jesus. I don't know if you're going to be lucky enough to die with Jesus. I don't know. But these guys were. Out of two people in eternity, they got to hang on the cross beside Jesus, one on the right and one on the left. And one of them looked at him and said, hey, man, get us out of here. Why did he think he could get him out of there, even though he didn't believe he was God? Hey, think about that. Remember, remember earlier I said sometimes we make prayers to God, if you'll do this and I'll do that, if you'll do this and I'll never do this again. A lot of times we're asking God to get us out of stuff, but we don't even really believe who he is. Amen? He thought he had the power to get him off the cross, but he didn't have have any power to save his soul. We run into people all the time that talk about, well, I pray and I try to talk to God and I try, but praise God, I can't ever, because you know what? You're only limited in God until you need him. Amen? Oh, amen, preacher, that's good. Verse 40, but the other answered and rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art the same in the same condemnation? Man, this is my favorite place in the Bible when it comes to salvation. There are two men hanging on a cross dying. I mean, dying. And somewhere between 40 and 39, one of them gets a theological degree. I don't know how it happened. I don't know how it happened with me either. But one of them all of a sudden becomes a theologian. I mean, they're sitting there, and all of a sudden one leans over. The one on the left side leans over and said, if you're Christ, get us down from here. Save us. Save yourself. Y'all get this, man. The other one on the other side of the cross. Hey, man. Do y'all see that? They're having a conversation. And meanwhile, there's soldiers and religious people and everything going on. That's kind of how God works. He's cool like that. He'll save you right in the midst of the world. The whole world's, amen, these guys are having a conversation about theological stuff. Amen? But the other aunt rebuked him. Saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? Did you not know we did this? Wait. And we indeed, what? Verse 40, watch. Indeed, justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. This man hath done nothing. That's the best preaching you ever see. A man dying on a cross is preaching better than most preachers will preach. He leans over and says, we deserve this. We deserve this. Some of y'all right now are going, why is the world going so bad? Why is America? You want me to tell you? We deserve this. We're in this condemnation because we deserve this. He leans over and says, we're sinners. We deserve this. Amen? We deserve this. This guy gets dismissed so much by so many churches in the world. I don't understand it, because God is, if you ever read about this, God says, I am no respecter of person. Remember that. So if he done it for this man, he'll do it for you. Amen? Watch this. Verse 42, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, that's important right there. Notice he didn't say if. He didn't say maybe or if you can. What'd he say? Lord. He recognized. Amen? Watch this. If you'll make Jesus Lord, you can go through anything. Amen? Watch this. Unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Simple prayer, ain't it? Simple prayer. Has he done anything? Listen, some people say, well, that was because he was on the cross and he couldn't do this. No. God is no respecter of persons. He's not. He's on his death sentence. Man, it's last day, last few hours. And what a prayer. First he says out of his mouth, I'm a sinner. We deserve this. It's our fault. We're sinners. Then he looks at him and says, when you come into your kingdom, what is he saying? Without a shadow of a doubt, you're God. You're the Son of God. Two things you got to figure out before you leave. Guess what? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he died for your sins. Those two things, if you don't ever figure those out, you're in trouble. I don't care if you leave here rich or if you leave here poor. If you leave here with everything or leave here with nothing. Amen? I hate to tell you this, we're all going to leave here with nothing. Preachers have been saying this forever, but they ain't no U-Hauls on the back of a hearse. They ain't never have been, or never will be. Amen? I don't care who you leave it to. They'll fight over it and scrum over it. But guess what? You will not worry about it, because after you get out of this life, you'll meet Jesus. The same one who's been tracking you down your whole life to save you. You'll see him face to face. Amen? I love that. He said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. God is no respecter of persons. No respecter of persons. If he done it for one, he'll do it for everybody. If it's simple for one, it's simple for everybody. If it's simple salvation, if it's a free gift, it's a free gift for everybody. Verse 43, best sound you ever hear. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I don't know about you, but there's one thief hanging on the cross that's got to be a little smile on his face. I mean, there's one over here who's just wanting to get out of trouble, and he's still mad. There's one on the right side going, let's get this thing on. Hey, man, I got a promise from God. I got a promise from God this day. Man, hallelujah, this day. Not tomorrow, not next week, not, hey, we're going to get you down and see if you can run this thing. Hey, we're going to get you down from the cross, and we'll give you about 3 weeks, see if you got it. We'll put you back in the world and see if you can live it out. No. This day, man, y'all ever get excited about this stuff? Hey, when Jesus drew his last breath, because it wasn't long from here, Jesus gave up the ghost and died, and guess what? They broke that man's legs, and he died too. Goodness gracious. And in eternity, there's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David, and Elijah, and Moses, and all the prophets, and one dude who's got scars just like Jesus, standing right beside Jesus on his right side. And all of them, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the saints down through eternity, David, King David, King David comes and takes his crown and sets it at the feet of Jesus. When he lifts his head, he goes, who's this guy? This guy right here, one of the blessed men on earth. They hung him right beside me. And when I started forgiving everybody in the world for their sins before they even asked for it, this guy right here got a hold of it and prayed a simple prayer. And I gave him a promise he'd be with me in paradise. And all of them, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, prophets, all came up and shook his hand and said, welcome to the family, brother. Welcome to the family. My God, that was a smart move. That was a smart move right there at the end where you just turned to Jesus. So what brought you to that place? Well, I heard him. I railed on him early when we first, oh, golly, when we all picked up our crosses and I thought it was my last day, I was kind of bitter. I was angry and upset too. I was scared and fearful. I didn't know how it was going to work out. There was a transition period and I started carrying my cross, but the closer I got to Christ, I started seeing a love and a forgiveness and a peace that I'd never seen before. And when they hung us up beside him, I heard him say this and I heard him say that, but I heard him say this one thing. He said, forgive them, Father, they know what to do. And I heard something so powerful that he forgave in the middle of his worst day, and it turned me to him. And I heard the other guy say, if, and I already knew. I don't know when it was, I don't know how it was, and I don't know how it is in your life, and I don't know how it is in mine, but there was one day in my life when I turned over and I seen Jesus for who he was. Amen? It was just like the thief on the cross. He looked at him and I said, oh my, you know what? Jesus is here. God's here, you know? I didn't realize it. It took me 30-something years to realize that God was in the midst. Amen? But I'm glad I did. Or let me ask you a question. If you die today, I know it's preacher's been asking this for so long. If you died today, where would you spend eternity? Not where you think you would spend eternity. Where would you spend eternity? If you draw your last breath, do you have enough to go out into eternity on? I'm gonna be honest with you. Be flat out honest with you. If I draw my last breath in 2020, I will be in eternity. If I get to live another 40 years, I will be in eternity with Jesus forever. Because in August 28 of 04, I believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and I believe that he died for my sins. And part three of that little problem right there is, or that little equation, it changed my life. Has it changed your life? Lying bothers me when I lie. Pornography bothers me. Stealing bothers me. Pride bothers me. Anger bothers me. Half-truths bother me when I do them. Amen? I know y'all are spiritual. But does your sin bother you? Because since I got saved, my sin bothers me. If your sin doesn't bother you, there's an altar for you. There's an altar for you. Come and get on it and say, God, forgive me. I believe you are the Son of God, and I believe you died for my sins. I don't care if you've told everybody you've been saved for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. It's time to put all that aside and say, God, I need that. I want that. As y'all stand, Scott, come.